Who are they going to get? Is Rebecca Gayhart going to come back? Maybe. You know, Lois. Or wait, was she Murphy? I don't know. One of them was Murphy, one of them was Lois. I don't remember. Ooh, that's a good trivia question. I'd be dead.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Bitch, I Ain't Scared. I'm your host, Rob the Scholar, along with the other host.
Mate the Fool. I'm the other host.
The other host. We are back to talk useless conversations in the genre of horror. Nate, you want to get those horror knowledge juices flowing. Let's get you warmed up. It's time for another trivia question.
Oh my God. Right off the bat, you're not even going to like loop me up?
Nope, nope. Long and hard. Here is your question from 1980. You know this movie. You know this movie. It's The Fog.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to tell me the name of the Clipper ship that was destroyed in the 1880s from the movie? Take note, I did not know this answer either because I only saw the movie once and didn't remember the name. So
I just watched it in October.
I know, that's why I picked it.
You bastard. All right, well, I'll think about it.
All right, well, we have a wonderful episode for you. Again, Nate has come up with a ton of topics to talk about randomly that he discovered throughout the month of January, and we'll wrap it up with our spoiler-free review of the latest Scream film that just released. Nate, where should we start?
Well, I guess we'll just start at the top, Robbie. I just noticed something funny on TV and I thought maybe you've seen it and you would probably enjoy it. Have you seen the latest, I don't know if there's a whole grouping of them, but there's a Geico commercial, you know, the Geico with the gecko?
Yes.
Have you seen the commercial where a waiter comes and he talks to this woman at the table about how the gecko is touching people's souls, and he's talking to all these bikers, like these big giant biker guys, and they're crying about their insurance plans. I don't know. Sound familiar?
This one does not ring a bell at the moment.
Okay. It's fairly new, I believe, but the waiter, you would recognize him from Final Destination.
No shit. Which one?
Yeah. Todd.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Nice.
And oh my God, I forgot his name already. I feel like a terrible person.
I love me some Todd. Last time I saw him was Jigsaw, I believe.
Oh, he's in Jigsaw?
Yeah, he was the cop investigating the newish murders after however long since Saw 3D.
I see. Okay. Well, Chad Donella, that's his name. And actually, it's funny because I was trying to confirm and make sure it was him in the commercial. And it's definitely him. And then I saw his other commercial works. I didn't like look at every single, but he's been in a lot of commercials over the years. So I thought that was funny.
Wait, let me make sure I got my shit right. Oh, of course, I always get my shit right. Wrong. He was in Saw 3D. He was the cop in that one.
Oh, well, I don't even remember most of the characters in that one either.
Yeah, Sean Patrick Flannery, and he, you know, wrote a book on his survival of being a Saw victim, and it was all fabricated to sell books, and so he was put through the test, and the Chad was the cop investigating that whole thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got
it. I thought it was Jigsaw, yes. But yeah, Saw 3D.
It's fine, Rob. Nobody's going to stake you through the chest. We're all here to enjoy.
I think that I would recognize him for sure if I saw this commercial, so I definitely did not see that one.
Okay, yeah, no, you'll see it soon. I think they play it on Hulu a lot, but I just saw him and I was like, oh, that looks like a slightly older version of that kid. Because I haven't seen him in a long time.
Well, speaking of, Destination is definitely on its way. They confirmed that there will be a six, and you know they're figuring out a script right now, but it's definitely happening. So we're gonna get another one.
That's right.
Excited?
And who is doing it? HBO or
Let me see, 'cause I just.
like I've seen it a couple times now where it's gonna be on.
So yeah, it's for HBO Max, and
Okay.
the producer of Spider-Man is doing it, John Watts. Or not the producer, the
Aha.
director. The director of of Spider-Man, John Watts, is producing the movie for HBO Max. So I think the Ready or Not people might be involved in this, just like they were with our film that we're going to speak about today. So Ready or Not really did help these guys get a lot of projects, it seems, and they'll be in charge of Final Destination now.
Okay. I don't mind. I'm not mad. We'll see what happens. So, I think 2 episodes ago, I had mentioned, I think it was, yeah, I think it was 2 episodes ago, I had mentioned this toy company that I could not remember off the top of my head. You had given me the trivia of Drag Me to Hell and what's the name of the demon, Lamia. Made me think of the toy I had. And over the holidays, I got this gaming system. It's a little like you plug it into the TV and it's already preloaded with hundreds of really old games.
Yeah, I know those.
Yeah. So my sister, my niece, and I, we all had fun. We played some games, but we came across one and it, lightning struck. Monster in My Pocket. Have you ever heard of this?
The title is very familiar. I don't think I played this one, though.
So that was the toy line. And I didn't know there was a whole video game, or maybe I did at some point in my childhood, but and unfortunately we couldn't play the game because every time we tried to start I don't know, it's like you're playing Frankenstein and Dracula and one of them just wouldn't move. I don't know why they wouldn't move around.
Boo.
So didn't get to play the game. Or at least I'll have to try again and play it solo. But yeah, that was the toy line that I had. I had a bunch of these little monsters. They were like, I don't know, maybe an inch tall.
Now, I think I had those two, and they had to do with like wrestling in a way. Is that, did I get that right?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I
I
can't
looked up.
remember if that was part of it or not.
I
But
mean, it could, I don't know, because they had a lot of different things. They had a lot of like, they had an animated TV special. They had a lot of things throughout the 90s and early 2000s. So maybe they're linked to wrestling in some way. I
yeah,
don't know.
so the link you sent me. It's the Monster Wrestlers in My Pocket. It debuted in UK in 1994. So I don't know if it made any of them like that went on through here, but like through Frosted Flakes, you could get them as a toy. And I think I may have collected a bunch of them either through cereal or I bought them. But I remember having these small miniature figures. And I remember one specifically had six arms. And there was also one who had on that Nacho Libre like, mask over his head. They were little small dudes. I didn't know if they were considered monsters or whatever, but I may have played with these and didn't know exactly what they were called. But the way you're describing them, it falls under that a little bit. God, I miss those.
Yeah, it probably is the same thing. I got mine like from the dollar store. Just like this big pack of, I don't know, 20 different monsters. And I, yeah.
I'm looking up a picture now because I'm very curious. I swear. I'm sure it's probably the same thing.
And I guess there were specific classic monsters, like in the video game. And I didn't have any of these. I didn't have a Dracula, Frankenstein, Vampira, whatever they were, like the Wolfman. I don't think I had any of those. These were all monsters that I'd never heard of. And it was, I thought it was cool because it was from around the world. It showed different monsters and where they were and their little quick mythology. But in the video game, it talks about the specific characters that I guess they pop up in the video game, and they're the original monster in my pocket.
Yeah. Creatures. I don't think I had the monster ones, but these wrestling ones definitely look familiar. I think I did have a couple of these because, yeah, they're bringing back so many memories right now. That's so funny. Man, these were back in the day. Yes, I do remember these. Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
It's funny. I don't know. I'd have to look at the wrestling one, but because I don't know if I remember those. But yes, Monster in My Pocket, classic.
I wonder how much they're going for now. If they're still around, anyway.
I know. I think the company, they discontinued. Like they kept trying to relaunch, and by, I don't know, 2006, I think they were done. But yeah, if someone has a little rare miniature, maybe it is worth money. I need to go like call my mom and be like, hey, can you find those monsters? I'm sure they're in a drawer somewhere.
They're definitely on eBay. There are people selling them anywhere between $2 to $130 or some, sorry, $160 for a big pack of them. So they're around. They're definitely around.
Well. Yeah, I don't have the original package, so it's never worth that much once you take them out and play with them. But I played with all of my action figures. I'm sorry. What was it you said? Oh, trick or treat. Yes, last episode when you were talking about Krieger and how he said, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that, again, my sister really wanted her daughter to see the new It movies. So we watched the first one. And Zoe, she was cool. You know, she likes horror movies. She was very excited about Scream coming out. So I've, you know, converted her. But she doesn't like clowns.
Fair.
She, like everything else that happened in the movie, she was like, it's fine. She's like, no, this is cool. It's a scary movie. It's totally fine. But she said just the clown himself, she did not like seeing him on screen. Yeah.
You should have shown her Bill's audition video from YouTube.
That's funny. And we did talk about it because I was like, oh, yeah, he was actually really attractive in this audition. I don't know why. I was so drawn to this creepy man. But so we watched that one, and then Erica wanted to watch the second one as well. So we did. And maybe you remember towards the end where they're about to go down into the pit, I think. And they get attacked by Stan's head.
Yes.
Stan's severed head, and it sprouts little legs, and it's like very reminiscent of The Thing.
Yes.
And somebody says, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And I was like, ha! Wow. You know, I just don't really remember this being a thing moment, but now it's like it's obviously everywhere, so I need to go and rewatch The Thing again.
Yeah, I really enjoy those It movies. I think they're great. Am I scared of clowns in a way that, you know, is a phobia? Not necessarily, but I do see the heavy appeal on why they are terrifying to some people. So I get it. And I think he did a wonderful job. Real quick, And I'm sure we probably talked about this in the other podcast, but just a reminder, as you were watching the second one again, what did you think about that opening?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
Did it change anything or hit different watching it again? Was there more of a understanding, or did it still give you the feels? Like, how did it feel watching it again?
No, I mean, it felt the same.
It's, yeah.
I mean, I shared the trivia that you did with me that it's from the original book.
Mm-hmm.
That the gay bashing actually is in the original book. It's like, oh, well, how exciting that these gay characters are included and one of them gets their heart bitten out. So great. But, you know, yeah, it's a rough scene to watch. And I mean, it'd be rough no matter what. But yeah, I liked them. I feel like a lot of people were disappointed with the second movie, but I must just be really easy to please. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think the only thing that would destroy that movie, at least for me, would be bad chemistry between the adults. I think the kids nailed mm-hmm. it so well with their chemistry. So if the adults couldn't pull that off, then, you know, whatever. But I thought they all did a great job together, in my opinion. So I like the second one. You got to introduce your siblings to the Scream franchise, and I also got to do the same thing. I love the fact that this trailer was able to show a bit of the fun side of this franchise and allow non-horror people to take a chance on it and actually give it a shot. And surprisingly, I was able to convert someone to appreciate the fun part of it and to not look at horror as such a gateway to just nightmares and creepy shit and gross out stuff. And after all is said and done, I think what came down to it, which I think a lot of people usually end up saying, is that if it's tongue in cheek, or if it pokes fun at itself, or if it's a horror comedy, they're easier to watch. And this was no different. I talked a friend of mine into watching the Scream franchise, and we started right from the beginning and watched all three, and he enjoyed them. He thought they were so much fun, and he was right there in it trying to solve the mystery and got all of them wrong in every single one. But yeah, he went through the motion to try and prepare for this fifth one, and he was just as excited as I was, if not very active in the fifth one when we watched it. And so it's fun that you can still watch these films and still get a real joy out of them. They don't seem too dated. And if they do, they make fun of the fact that they're dated, you know? And so it didn't lose its touch, I thought. But I will say this. Rewatching them, especially in a row, they don't necessarily run into each other, but they're a little repetitive. I just think the formula was a little bit on the nose with each one, that they didn't necessarily veer off too much from what made the previous one work. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
So, like, again, they were following the horror rules or whatever, and everything was always kicked up a notch in the next one following, you know, the next. But as far as the mystery and sort of the motive and everything, the big speech exposition, it just seemed like there was a lot, which is not a bad thing. It's just something that I noticed. And for some reason, when I was watching these individually as they came out, they all just seemed so different from each other and very unique. But this time it seemed just a little bit repetitive, but also the mystery wasn't necessarily there. I mean, obviously there was a whodunit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't necessarily give you too much to really solve it on your own. I mean, have you ever confidently been like, bam, that person's the ghost face and it's because of this scene or it's because of something that was said? Or do they just literally pick someone and here's why? What do you think?
I think with the first two, they do give some hints, but especially the first movie, you know, there wasn't a lot of secrecy because it was new. So people weren't like trying to read the script or anything. So they already knew from the get-go who it was going to be at the end. But like all the hints of like, it's Billy, you know, they really played with people and like, you know, pretend to kill him, to remove him as a suspect. But, you know, so it's like, they kind of like, they did lay it on thick with him, making him creepy. And, so I think that was, you know, just the cleverness of putting it in your face. Like, it's him. Oh, but he's dead now. So never mind. and in the second one, and we had talked about this, where that time around, everybody wanted to know how this movie was going to go. Everyone wanted to get their hands on the script. So then they had to make changes. But I still feel like if you go back and rewatch it, they do things with Mrs. Loomis. Like from the first shot of her behind Gale, it's not like she's like this creepy hovering thing, but it's like there's just something about her where it's like they do give her enough interest. They give the audience enough interest in this woman. And it's like, why? Why is Laurie Metcalf in this movie? You know, because it's like that second movie was just so full of familiar faces. People wanted to be in this movie. So, you know, they had to change things. And like they had that moment between Hallie and Derek towards the end where I was like, they were giving each other the eye. And it's like, maybe that was something, you know, but they had to change it at the last minute.
You know what's funny? I can definitely remember this. I didn't suspect Debbie at all. Like, she to me was a replacement for Gale Weathers because I felt the movie needed to have some kind of reporter trying to get their big break, right? And Gale wasn't necessarily that go-to person anymore, even though she was still reporting. She was also in the mess. So I felt the movie needed this outside reporter to kind of mirror what was going on in the first one. And so I never suspected her at all. When she popped out that corner, I was stunned. And I, in my track record, I always get at least one out of the two correct. With the first one, I guessed Stu, but not Billy. With part two, I guessed Mickey, but not Loomis. And it's so funny. I always end up doing that, and it goes for the rest of them. But yeah, no. I never suspected Betty or Debbie. Never suspected her.
I don't ever really suspect anyone. I mean, until this recent one, I did suspect someone right away. And I was basically right. Yeah. But I think I just really go along with the journey. I mean, especially when I was a kid, I watched the first and second movies. I didn't know what was going on. I was just like, oh, boom, boom, boom. Oh my God. You know, like I didn't suspect anyone because I was just way too enthralled by the experience. Now, when I watched the third movie, I did suspect somebody. And she was one of the killers in the original script, or one of the original scripts, but then they didn't end up using Angelina as a killer, which I was like, this makes no sense. This fucker needs a partner. He needed a partner above everybody else, but okay, fine. He did it alone, sure.
Yeah. I pretty much guessed him, but I just think it was a real heavy cheap shot to, you know, put his body in the coffin and blah, 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 because they don't necessarily give you a great timeline of him getting from getting up from there, putting on the costume and going around doing all his shit again. Yeah. Like it just didn't make sense. And I was like, whatever, it's all about the motive for me. So I'm chill.
I don't know. I mean, I guess there were more secret passages in the house that they just didn't show us, but you know, it's fine. But I get what you're saying. I don't know if I've ever watched them all back to back like that. I think I've watched them closely together. For me, still, the first two movies, they were original enough. And it's like, yes, it's the whodunit. But it was still surprising and the stakes were still very high. Once I got to the third and fourth movies, the stakes were not as high because, yes, they were introducing all of these new characters, but they weren't really making me too concerned with them. Especially in the third movie, they just, you know, they were taken out so quickly and they all had terrible personalities, which I guess was the point because they're all Hollywood people. So that was like, haha, they're terrible. And you're not supposed to care about, I don't know. But the stakes just weren't very high. So that one was, it was a different movie then for me. And then the fourth one was kind of a different movie too. It was just a little more fun. I think it was more aware of like, we're the fourth movie. we just need to have fun. We need to enjoy this ride and hopefully people will enjoy it with us. I guess I'll have to like try that one day and just watch them all back to back and see if they just bleed into each other.
Yeah. And I think they're really fun to watch with someone who hasn't seen it before. It was amazing watching, his name is Greg, watching his face every time he suspected somebody when they die. And he would just have this look like either shock or just like, huh? Okay. You know, he wouldn't be pissed or anything, but it would just be like, oh, I guess I got it wrong, but he was trying. It was very entertaining to just kind of watch somebody experience it. And I'm glad that he was open to do it. So I'll say this for anybody listening. If you have not seen this series, watch them. I think they're fun and they do get gorier as the films, you know, go up, but I think they're some of the best slashers in the game.
That's so funny because I have a differing opinion. I feel like they get less gory.
Oh, really? You think so?
I mean, the first movie was pretty graphic, especially with specific kills. I mean, the opening was gory. Tatum's head getting crushed, whether it defies physics or logic, it doesn't matter. It's a pretty graphic scene. And then the second one, you know, nobody's getting gutted, but it was still very graphic. I think the third one not so much. And I was talking about trivia last night about how much fake blood was used with those first three movies, and it was like by the time they got to the third movie they used very little fake blood because of the times of when the movie came out. They were doing less violence in movies, so they trimmed it back. The fourth one was very violent, but it was more so like just the brutality of how the Ghostface performer moved and how, I don't know, like how merciless the figure seemed to be in that movie.
I will just always cut to Anthony Anderson getting a headshot with a knife. Like that shit was disgusting.
It was bad, yeah.
Straight stab to the brain and him just crawling and I could not that was disgusting.
Homegirl in her bedroom, poor Olivia. I mean that was that goes on and on and on. So it definitely was, it was brutal. But I still feel like that first movie, I don't think anything has been as gory as the first one, maybe.
Well, depending where you watch it. Also, because in some cases you may not get to see that specific scene.
No, you still get to see it. You just don't see things falling out of the you don't see the steam rising off of, you know. But you know, you still get to see homegirl hanging from the tree. It's terrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they just make it real fast. But you know, flash forward to 2022. We now have the newest installment, Scream. And this one, while again, no, it doesn't exactly have the Drew Barrymore hanging from a tree and body parts on the outside, you know, this movie was very brutal.
Yes, it was.
I was having a conversation with someone. Maybe it's because of my age now. I still love these movies. They inspired me to become a horror fan. This was the beginning for me. But my God, I was very emotional during this movie. And maybe it's because now I am the uncle of a teenage girl. So during the opening of the movie, I kind of got a little choked up, maybe. It was hard watching because I just thought about my niece. And I was like, I don't want some weirdo calling my niece. And
man, that's Jenny Ortega's doing, man. She's everything. Yeah. She is so good. She's so good.
Like, very, very empathetic. Like, her emotional range, I don't know. I was very disturbed. I was very disturbed. I mean, and not just her. I mean, whoever choreographed that scene and decided how certain things were going to go, it was brutal. It was hard to watch. And I was like, wow, am I getting soft? All right.
So we'll start from the beginning. Did this film meet your expectations of a 10-year break?
It did. It actually, well, okay. So, and again, everyone, hey, I'm no fun and I don't watch trailers. And because I knew that trailer was going to be garbage. So I had very different expectations from the rest of the world, who has seen the trailers and seen everything else. I've only seen behind the scenes stills, which were already too much for me. But also, some of them kind of worked in my favor. Little redirect, little razzle dazzle, mislead me. So it gave me everything that I needed. It really did. You know, the fourth one came out, and I remember being skeptical and then excited. I had the same thing with this one where I was a little skeptical, but then I was very excited. And I've been looking forward to this for 2 years, basically. It hit the marks for me. It really did. It surprised me in a lot of different ways. And I don't know if whoever watched the trailer, I don't know if they got that. I talked to one person and after I finally saw it, and he was like, I was underwhelmed, but I'm going to go see it again and see if I just feel differently. I was like, huh, no, I was definitely pleased for the most part. I can't say that, like, 90%, you know, I don't think I was feeling the way I did with the third or fourth movie. That's me. How about you, Rob?
So I did watch the trailer, and some of it gave me hint as to how I thought things were going to play out. And for the most part, the trailer did not reveal too much. However, you tend to anticipate exactly who the victims are, just not how they meet their demise. And with that being said, you know, we're given a plethora of new people. We know nothing about them. And we just know that there's going to be what they call now legacy players coming back. And from the trailer, it doesn't necessarily give you any indication as to why the original folks are even involved in this, except for the fact that they just want to help. And that was good enough for me until I saw the movie. I think that this movie definitely met my expectation of what I saw in the trailer. The only thing that I will say that I was missing from this was the scare factor. I had a lot of fun watching this movie, and I love a good mystery and I love a good slasher. And there was definitely some anticipating moments, but it was done not in a comedy way, but in a, you know, misdirect ha ha way, if that makes sense. There were scary scenes, and there were scenes that were definitely horrific, but it's like that line between a thriller and an action movie, because there was a lot of things going on screen, but it wasn't to the point of, like, I was on the edge of my seat, or if I was like cowering, or, you know, did I sleep with the lights on last night? You know, no, that didn't happen, which is not a bad thing. But to me, I kind of wanted them to kind of go back to how the first one scared the shit out of you. And the opening scene was great. But again, most of that was in the trailer. So if anything, that was probably the disadvantage of watching the trailer, is that I got most of those jump scares and what have you from the trailer. So there's that. But I actually enjoyed all of the new characters. I have a feeling if I watch it again, I will become obsessed with a couple of them. And I thought they were all, well, I shouldn't say all. I thought that most were written very well. Unfortunately, some of these characters, in my opinion, did not get the character development that they deserved. I don't know if that is a product of having too many suspects or, you know, again, I don't know exactly which direction this franchise is going. But as far as our star of this requel, some will question her acting. I thought she did great. Oh. And yeah, and I do enjoy the story that was created for her to be involved in this. Mm-hmm. And I also loved the theme of the movie, because ever since Scream was announced, I was trying to figure out exactly what angle the Ghostface was going to use in order to create or play out his plan, right? Or her plan. I'll say they plan. Yeah. And the idea of a requel and sort of the rules that are behind it, I thought that was great. What my mind took was, we were going to definitely talk about elevated horror, which was definitely mentioned in the movie. Mm-hmm. But then the idea of the requel, I think, is great. And there was a line that our Randy-esque character said that really resonated with me, is that you come out with a movie trying to revise and bring back the franchise, and it turns out horrible. So then you try again and you make a remake. And they mentioned a lot of the ones that are coming out now, especially the biggest one is Halloween, is where you can't just reboot a franchise. You have to continue the story, especially mm-hmm. if it's been gone and away from us for so long. Nobody wants to see a remake again, so you have to continue the story. And I just like the way that it was described, and I liked the idea of why Ghostface was doing what they were doing. And mm-hmm. and so I was very satisfied with that. As far as the motive for the killers, I'm still middle ground. I don't know if I was completely okay with why Ghostface did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the killer's motive?
it's so funny. It's just hard to describe. I'll say, if I can say, it's similar to what has already passed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. I also think that the motive definitely parallels to what is going on today in the horror genre, right, as well as you know, how movies are being judged and looked at today. So mm-hmm. that definitely matched. And so I applaud them for still continuing to match this franchise with what's going on today, because
yeah, the times,
it would be hard to bring other franchises into the modern day audience. And, you know, and these were all mentioned in the movie, you know, Child's Play, The Thing, and some other ones that just, when you try and elevate and modernize what worked so well in the 80s, some of these icons cannot flourish today. You know, they yeah. can't elevate into today's world. Sometimes the best thing that they did was back in the day, you know? So yeah. I applaud Ghostface for still being able to resonate with what's going on today in Hollywood or, you know, entertainment.
No, I agree with that. I mean, and it's, it's not just about like horror movies. I mean, it's good commentary on the world in general. Just how people are online and how they treat each other and how they someone's opinion is so strong, it is dangerous in a lot of different ways. So not just the horror community, even though it's a lot of people will always fall back on the horror community as being dangerous and evil because they like watching terrible things. But, you know, just in the like political spectrum, people like that, they have very cemented opinions and they sometimes become very dangerous. And that is a lot of what we are seeing around the world. So it extends to all different parts of our reality. It's not just movie fans, but everyone. So I think, yeah, that's great commentary.
I really, really enjoyed the acting from most of our players, especially Courtney Cox. I thought she murdered and slayed this.
Yeah.
She will forever be Gale Weathers. And I wonder if it's like riding a bike for her. I haven't seen her in latest projects. I think this is honestly the last thing that I've ever seen her do. But every time she does it with such conviction and flair, and she just doesn't lose a beat. She is so like animated and she's just like, she gets the best dialogue. I just think she's awesome. She's really good. Nev, I thought was great. I don't know if this would be considered a spoiler, but Nev kind of takes a back seat. And that again was another strong thing that they did for this fifth one, is that she wasn't necessarily the center of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I also love the fact that the movie still managed to respect her in such a high pedestal, you know, like she may not have gotten much screen time, but when she did, they let you know she is the original bitch. Do not fuck with that. Like this, it's fucking Nev Campbell. Like we just don't go there. And so I love that. And I also really enjoyed a lot of the meta that they brought into the film too. And also just stipulating that this is not their first rodeo, right? I think that the characters were written in a certain way to where they weren't as clueless or naive as you thought, you know, like they were given exactly what is going on. They sat them down. Somebody in this group is a fucking killer, right?
Yeah.
You can't go through life like completely just being afraid and just ruin your friend group or be like, I disown all of you. I'm not going to be friends with you until this blows over. But you're self-aware. You are aware. One of you are the killer, and they don't just put it to the side, oh, please, whatever. Like, no, they take every information that's given to them seriously because this has happened how many times, you know? Mm-hmm. And if they want to live through this, they better fucking, like, think. And I think a lot of these characters were actually thinking this time.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed that. The callbacks, the Easter eggs, the callbacks, like, so good. I know I didn't catch them all, but they did a really good job of doing that without it being heavy-handed or cheesy, in my opinion. I don't remember seeing tons of like, oh, let's throw them this so they'll be happy for two more minutes and we can get away with like horrible dialogue or whatever. No, like I think some of these callbacks were interesting, and some of these callbacks weren't even in the previous movies. They were given to us because of the fandom that we created for them. And so I really enjoyed those. One thing that I will say that Nate brought to my attention that I didn't notice is that throughout this movie, there will be a scene where someone is watching YouTube. When you see this YouTube screen, don't pay too much attention about the video. Look to the side and read all of the recommended videos, and you will be pleasantly surprised and happy. Yes. Overjoyed, justice, if that means anything to certain Scream fans, justice has been served.
Yes. And I was given that little tidbit of information from my friend Michael. He immediately sent me a screenshot and he was like, look at this, look at it. And I was like, what am I looking at? I can't see anything. And then when I saw it, I was like, what? Yeah. So, and there's a lot of nice things in the movie that I'm sure your eye will catch, things like in Dewey's home. And, you know, there's some really nice things. And it's not even like huge spoilers, but still just, you know, when you see them, they're nice. They're heartfelt kind of moments. I mean, this was a very emotional movie, honestly. I shed some tears. I did. As the opening aside, I think I was just a little more traumatized by that, maybe. But there were some moments. Even at, you know, at the end of the movie, I think just for being a fan, you know, I felt like this movie gave me all the things that I needed. It was a great continuation, a great return, a great payment of homage to the originals. And I, you know, I shed a little tear. I was like, wow, I was very overcome by these emotions. And I know it's like, it's a horror movie. And yes, I've been crying about a lot of movies this year, but this is different. This was just, it was such a huge moment. And yes, all the legacy people that they brought back, you know, Dewey, including Marley Shelton, you know, even though she was only in the fourth movie, but it's like still like they brought these.
She made an impact. Yeah.
She made an impact. Like, I love Judy. Like, my niece was like, she was so annoyed with her in the fourth movie. I was like, what is wrong with you? Why do you not like Judy? Leave Judy alone. She has lemon squares. Oh, the lemon squares. Oh. But so, you know, it's like she's, I think all these people are really important. And like, Dewey, you know, like you said, I mean, Courtney is Gail Weathers. Like, she, it's like everyone's like, oh, Monica. Everyone's like, no, she's Gail Weathers. Like, this is the one that she, you know, and I mean, even she talked about. I watched like a little bit of the three of them, the trio. They went on Drew Barrymore's talk show, and
I love that.
That was cute. It was really special because Drew was like very excited, like to talk to them. And Gail said, she's like, you know, when she auditioned, she was like, she said the big conversation they had was like, well, like, how do I make this woman different, you know, because she's not Monica. So it's like, I just want to like make her different. And like, yes, I'm putting her in all these like tacky outfits, but she's over the top, and that's what she loved about her so much. And then with Dewey, you know, it's like they fall right into these characters. And if you watch these movies back to back, you do see a journey. You see a journey for these characters.
Oh, heavy journey, of course.
Like, Nev, I mean, like, you go back to the original, it's like she was this young teenage girl. She screams a lot in that movie. As the movies progress, Sydney doesn't do a whole lot of screaming.
Because, and she runs towards danger.
Yeah, she's less scared. It's still, like, horrifying, but now it's like she's a little more hardened. Especially in this one, it's like she's, you know, she's familiar with the territory, very familiar. So she's, I don't know, there's no panic mode for these characters. They've already been through it multiple times, but it's still a very heavy emotional journey. Like we've said before, it's like when you do horror, it's drama. Like, yeah, it's fun and it's kind of silly sometimes and it's violent and gory, but the actors have to be dramatic actors. they're playing heavy emotions. They're playing fear and sadness and grief. And
you know what really got me was, I mean, you can honestly give Sid and Gail a how's it, you know, how it was and how it's going now. Mm-hmm. Like, just imagine, like, oh, I'll have to read your book. I'll send you a copy, slap, to, mm-hmm. and then fast forward to now. I mean, those two are inseparable. And I don't know how many times the two of them will have each other's back to the end of time. And, mm-hmm. like, just the progression and growth of those two. And each movie, they get closer and closer to one another. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It's insane how they progress. And I love that that journey was for all of us to see, because, man, it is not like it was in the first movie.
Yeah. Watch your tone, new girl.
Right? Oh, my God. Like, can you imagine from the first one that she would go up to bat for her? Like, that was so good. So good. You know,
and even, I mean, I would say maybe Dewey, he's definitely changed, but, like, he's always been the lovable. Like, they still had that. They had a new composer on this movie, but they still used, like, his little theme music.
Yeah, he still has his theme song, for sure.
That little touching. And I was like, so, you know, it's like, you just love Dewey. He's so wonderful. He's, like, the heart of the film. And I don't remember what character said it to him. Maybe it was Amber. I don't remember who, like, dug into him and said some crazy shit to him about him, like, being an alcoholic and your wife left you, and he's like, maybe you're the killer, because that cut really deep.
Yes.
Like, that was so sad. It's like, oh, poor Dewey.
Well, I'm definitely vouching for this movie. I think that it definitely paid respect. You know, a lot of people want to throw Wes's name in there as if they know him personally, and I think that's utter bullshit. Like, I get it that all of you, you know, are heavy fans of Wes Craven, and, you know, we want these movies to pay tribute to him and not make it as if his legacy has gone down the toilet or for him to be forgotten. But, you know, those would be like, oh, yeah, Wes would not approve this. He's like, fuck all of that shit. And even people who are just like, you know, Wes would be happy for this. Like, okay, that's fine. But you, like, none of y'all know him. Like, it just leave him out of it. I think that this movie was entertaining. And I think that this movie definitely gave me a Scream movie. I didn't feel that it went off the hinges. And yeah. I welcome another one if they choose to do it again. Do I want to see the same set of characters? Probably not. because I don't know. I got a lot of closure with this movie. So if they really wanted to continue the franchise, then I just think they need to continue to just give us a different group. And work from that. I don't need a long, like, MCU moment here where story goes on for, you know, 80 movies. Like, I don't need that. If you want to do an anthology-ish type thing where you just not necessarily forget about the past, but I don't need to see the same story and where they've been and what's going on. I got that. And at least for my generation, I got that. And if they want to do it with this one, I suggest just creating a new horror icon and leave Ghostface out of it. But please go see this movie. If you are a fan of Scream, go see it. If you haven't seen any of them, watch the franchise and go see this movie. I think it's worth it. Unfortunately, there is not a end credit or after credit post scene to look forward to. But just know that this movie's killing it. So chances are we may see another one.
Speaking of Marvel, it did knock Spider-Man out of the top spot, so there you go.
Yeah.
yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and you know, 25 years later, it's a big moment. I wear my little Ghostface t-shirt that I got from Cavity Colors. I was real cute. I had my Ghostface face mask. You know, had to make sure everyone knew which movie I was going to see. But yeah, and you know, as far as Wes, we don't know what he would think, but all the people who worked with him from the original films, I think that speaks to a little bit of for him, not for him, but on his behalf. They all believed in it. They all wanted to come back to do something in honor of his name. I personally think that they did a great job. They nailed it. Who knows what he would have done? We don't know. 'Cause he did all four movies before this, and they all were kind of like different experiences.
They were different experiences. You know? I agree.
So who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I do agree. Like what you said, like there was closure, but I mean, for the very, very first movie, there was closure. There felt like closure. We didn't necessarily think there was going to be another one. Even with the second movie, I would say there was closure, you know, they give us closure each time, but there's always some secret just waiting to be unveiled.
Yeah.
So if they do another one, now I personally, I can't handle a whole new group of like, I need some sort of connection here. Do I need the legacy people to be this giant force each time? Not necessarily. I mean, especially in this one, I mean, they weren't, but I think to some degree, I do need them to be involved in the story only because it's so amazing that they're still involved in the story and they haven't been killed off. You know, it's like, who are they going to get? Is Rebecca Gayhart going to come back? Maybe, you know, Lois. Or wait, was she Murphy? I don't know. One of them was Murphy. One of them was Lois. I don't remember. Ooh, that's a good trivia question. I'd be dead. But yeah, I think I would like to see more. I always, you know, I'm always a little like worried, like, oh, what's going to happen with this next one? But I always do want to see another one. And I was happy with the new characters. I enjoy Melissa Barrera. I think she did a great job. You know, our new girl, that she was great. Jack Quaid, he's so funny. I can't not hear his voice. He does the Star Trek Lower Decks. So he's Boimler on that show. So now I just can't. That's all I see. That's all I see is this purple-haired guy whenever he talks. But, you know, he's such a cute, geeky guy. But he did a great job. They all did a great job. And yes, I'd say maybe all the kids were less annoying because they were a little more aware and a little more willing to not... They just weren't willingly oblivious to the situation at hand versus in the last movie, I feel like you just watched your best friend get killed across the street, but you are acting like nothing has happened. And in this one, I don't know. They were still a little like that. I don't know. I don't know what it is. If it's just teenage angst and how they are trying to like disassociate and like move on and not be scared. But, you know, they were at least a little smarter this time around. And not to forget, a quick appreciation shout out to Jasmine Savoy Brown, a.k.a. Mindy, Randy's niece, and our brand new scholar, movie geek who knows all the rules. Thank you. She is providing us with our very first for real queer representation in the Scream film series, at least. So thank you for that.
All right, Nate, the time has come. You've had plenty of time to think about this. Let's go back to 1980. Do you happen to remember the name of the clipper ship that was destroyed in the fog in 1880?
Is it like... Okay, look. I don't know. It's Saratoga.
You are absolutely correct without being correct at all.
Okay. Well, fuck you. What is it?
The name of the ship is called the Elizabeth Dane.
Okay. Oh, my God. Get the fuck out of here.
kudos to anyone who got that question right. You are definitely a Fog fan. I unfortunately did not get that one, but we'll have another trivia question for you on our next episode.
pretty sure it was Saratoga. So, since we've spent so much time talking about Scream, I thought we would close out with a bitch really from Scream 4.
Nice. Okay, which one is this?
I mean, there's plenty of them, honestly. Olivia, why are you going home by yourself when there's, you know, a killer on the loose? Seriously, just go have a sleepover. It's 20 feet away. Fine. But we're not going to focus on her.
Oh, I was going to say, was it Olivia?
No. We're not even going to focus on Allison Brie's character in the fucking parking structure herself.
That woman, she's okay.
In heels. Like, girl, take off your heels. That's what my sister, when we were watching it, she's like, take off your heels so you can run. But we're not going to talk about her either. No. We're going to talk about the Woodsboro Police Force.
Oh my God. The police in this town. Jeez. Yes.
Like, in this town. Like, maybe in the first movie they weren't. I don't know. But, ugh. So, look. So, Officer Perkins, Officer Haas, I don't really know what the fuck you were doing in this movie besides, you know, being popular actors that we all recognize. But what the fuck? This isn't even a bitch, really. It's what the fuck? Playing around. So, I mean, you know, before this, it's like they made some mistakes. I don't know how Ghostface got past them when they're running in a circle. Like, did Ghostface suddenly learn how to fly? Whatever. One of you is the killer. That was the third killer, and they decided we got to cut our loose end because this guy's going to ruin everything. Probably. So, when Haas leaves, I think it's Haas, yes, and then he can't get Perkins on the radio, he goes back, and Perkins, Anthony Anderson, is on the steering wheel, and then he jumps up and scares him. And then, you know, both die right after that. But it's like, bitch, really, why are you playing around? Why are you playing around right now? Like, people have died. Multiple people have died at this point. And I don't know, you have your window down. Yeah. Like, the cop in Scream 2 got killed and his window wasn't even down. So I need you to just try a little harder. That's what I need.
Yeah, those two were very weird. I didn't get that whole thing about them playing with each other. It was, yeah. I
don't know.
Like, watch the place. And I don't know, didn't they also say that they were like two blocks away from the actual house they were supposed to watch?
No.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different movie. For some reason I'm like, because the thing is that when, didn't somebody come home and it was just like, how come their bodies are not in front of you right now? Like,
oh yeah, like,
and so and so they were like, where are my deputies? And they were found two blocks away is what I thought I heard. And so I was like, why were they so far from the house?
So I guess whoever it was probably Jill, she had moved the car. I guess maybe that's what she did. She put the bodies in the car and moved it down the street. But also it was like, if I had come home, like, I thought these cops were supposed to be watching my house. Where are they? I would immediately be like, hey, you know, my daughter's home alone. I just got home, or my daughter's supposed to be home alone. I don't know. Like, where are you? So, yeah, I think you're right. They did say we found the car a block away or something. And it was just an excuse to, like, up the body count, which I understand. They always want to, like, up it each time.
But, you know, I'm very surprised that this particular killer has not reached FBI status. I would have had all the receipts of anybody who has bought that costume up and running, cross-reference and all that bullshit, just to make sure this shit did not happen the way it did, because the fact that those costumes are even still selling is a mystery. Anybody buying that should be put on a list.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny. I think I had that thought after the fifth movie we just watched, where I was like, they can't sell these masks anymore.
I know.
You know, that's, I feel like, and that's funny. It's like this triggering thing now where it's like, people are such big fans of the stab movies. So it's like, if they can get their hands on these masks, they'll do it. But it's like, oh, I don't have the mask. So I guess this isn't going to work out. You know, it'll just have to be a dream of mine to go on a killing spree. Yeah. Yeah. No more. No more. They'll have to use the mask from the Scream TV series.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. It doesn't quite, you know, hit the same. Mm-mm. Once again, thanks everybody for joining us on. I personally think this is very useful information that, you know, everyone can live by. It's like vitamin C. Welcome to 2022 again. Oh, I'm sorry. 2022.
Thank you for that.
My bad. I'll get it. And you know, great things ahead, great things for horror, great things for life. We're all going to be thriving. We're going to be thriving like Scream is at the box office. It's going to be amazing. Ugh. Sequels all around. And we'll have some more tasty tidbits for you in the coming months. You know, we have fun. So that's all that we can really guarantee. But thank you as always, Rob. It's always fun chatting with you.
Definitely. Yes, we'll be back again for another episode in February.
Yes. Catch you next time on Bitch, I Ain't Scared.